blessed to be back in the house of the Lord today. And we're so thankful today, Palm Sunday, that the Lord is going to help us in this service to get our victory. Amen. You watch today. Watch what God will do in this time that we've made for Him. Amen. We're thankful for the goodness of the Lord and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're thankful for the teaching of the Word of the Lord, what happens here on Sunday morning and at 11 o'clock, our service. And you've come today. We want you to open your heart and let God minister. Let God instruct. And we're going to give liberty to the Lord today. Amen. So I want you to pray with me as we begin today. And Brother Colton's going to come and instruct us today in the Word. But would you pray with me today, Lord Jesus? You know what we need today from you. God, instruct us, turn the light on, guide us in thy great truth this morning. Let liberty be given unto you today by every one of us, God, to take the lead in our hearts and minds, O Lord, to guide us, God, and let us grow in you. Let our faith be stimulated, our mindset, O Lord. We pray for the joy and the power of your glory today, God, and faith to arise in every one of us. Teach us and open our hearts to you, God, and show us, Lord, your glory. We thank you for everything today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Brother Colton.
Praise the Lord, everybody. All right, getting right into it. I actually thought whenever I first saw this lesson, I was going to, man, this is going to be a short lesson. But don't worry, Brother Jerry, I didn't disappoint you. One paragraph and a definition into, I don't know, 45 minutes at least. So last week we talked about what? Does anybody remember? The tree, the roots. It matters where you're planted, right? It matters where you're planted. The psalmist wrote, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." For why? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. And it's going to bring forth fruit. And there's going to be a season for that. Right? So it matters where you're planted. And so again, I was going to rush through this thing. And I was going to talk about, we are talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And so I can rattle off peace, love, joy, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness. Man, I can rattle this off really quickly. And in the interest of helping Brother Jerry learn patience, I'm just kidding. The Lord really began to deal with me, and he actually pulled the reins back on me. And he says, I've got some nuggets for you, and I want you to study this. And so if this is not for anybody else, Sister Kristen, it's for me. And so so it matters where I'm planted. And in doing so, I don't have the picture. I've got a picture on my phone, but I may share it later on. But Sister Crosswhite, I shared it with Pastor Nancy. In studying this, the Lord brought me back to a dream that I originally had when I moved here in 2010. That's part of what brought this all together for me, is God gave me confirmation. Now, I dream dreams, but there's only about four dreams that I know were from God, and I can tell you exactly where I was and I can still tell you those dreams to this day, 20 plus years later. And so, in the dream that I had, when I came to this church in 2010, was if I planted myself, whenever I came to church, Brother Brent, Brother Townley would, whenever I got this truth for myself, I started going to Brother Green's church in Porter. And Brother Don Townley was sitting there, and I went up there to sit in the front row, and my very first Sunday morning there, I sat down in that front row, and he walked up and he nudged me and he said, "Hey man, that's my seat." He said, "You can sit next to me though." He goes, "But if you're going to sit on this front row, you're going to worship like you're on the front row." He said, so, and Brother Townley, I don't know about y'all, if y'all know him very well, like I know him, Brother Crosswhite, but there was times that he would move from that front row to the altar and he would sit on that altar, and then he would run up in the preaching and he would tag the pulpit, right? And so he was like, if you're going to sit up here, you're going to worship. And so in doing so, whenever I moved to Nacogdoches, I sat on that front row, Brother Crosswhite, right there. The pulpit was right here in the middle. There was a center aisle. We were in Central Heights still. And there was that front row, that front corner, that was my spot. And I sat there, Brother Brent. And the dream that he gave me was if I was to plant myself there, out of the pulpit came a waterfall. And in that waterfall, the river flowed down the middle aisle. And I would grow, and my branches would cover the front of the church. But I had to plant myself there. So it matters where you're planted. And I said all that to say I'm going somewhere with this, right? And so last week we talked about it matters where you're planted. And so I want to be planted where I'm going to grow fruit. And I'm going to grow good fruit and not bad fruit. And so in breaking this down, I know where I'm planted, Sister Benton, and I'm not going anywhere. I've got a taproot, and it's going deep. And the winds are going to blow in my life, Brother Jess, but I'm going to stay planted where I'm at, right? A few Sundays ago, I also talked about it. It doesn't matter your geographical location. You are still going to fight the same battles. So we don't church jump, because if I left this church and went to another church, guess what? That battle's still going to follow me to that place. It's not my geographical location. And so the most important thing is I'm planted by that rivers of water. And so imagine for a moment that you have two trees off in the distance and they appear to be full of apples. I mean, they're beautiful and green and red and whatever color, whatever favorite apple you like. If you like a Granny Smith, or if you like those bitter green ones or those sweet red ones, there's apple trees galore of different names. But just imagine the two trees of your favorite apples, and you arrive to this orchard and you run out there to this tree of beautiful, delicious apples, and as you get closer to them, they're different. They're in the same orchard, but they're a little bit different. And upon closer inspection, you see that one tree is bearing a rich, beautiful fruit hanging from the stem. You know that tree grew those apples. But the tree next to it, the apples have been tied to this tree. The first tree, the apples naturally hang. But the second tree, vigorous labor has been given to make the appearance look like it's good, but it's really not good. The fruit on that tree did not come from that tree. So true fruit, and I added this, Brother Josh, if you'll put this on there, Luke chapter 6, 44 and 45. True fruit cannot be replicated. Real fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For if thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. And I'm going somewhere. I'm laying a foundation. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Go to, what is that one? Luke, Matthew 12:33. So either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So I'm wanting to talk about something deep down on the heart. And when you look at the heart, what is the first thing? When you see a heart in a grocery store or Walmart, what is the very first thing you think of? Well, thank you. Woo! That took a second. Valentine's Day, love, right? So, since we're there, let's just talk about the fruit of love. And again, man, I thought this was going to be quick. Whew. But there is some depth to love that I had no idea. I was up late last night, even coming back from the trip, Sister Dallas, and I was up early this morning, God dealing with me about love. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you can remain seated. I'm just going to read through the whole chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, which is love, which is also translated in the Greek to agape, and we'll get to that in a second, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So if I don't have love, if I don't have this agape type of love, then I'm just as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So sounding brass back in the day could have been referenced to a pagan or a cult type practice using drums and cymbals to rouse people into an emotional ecstasy. Okay? So it's fake. It's not real. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not agape or charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Keen in on verse 4. Because this is really important. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not, or vaunteth is another word for boast itself. It doesn't boast itself. It doesn't get puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, or seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. We're talking about charity here. We're talking about agape. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Paul says, When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So, you know, when you to get a good tree, there are certain things that it has to have. It has to have good ground. Let me go to my notes there. It has to have a good watering source. Question. Is the fruit of the tree for the tree? What's the fruit for?
Spread seeds.
Spread seeds. That's good. Anybody else? To eat. Well, who's going to eat them? Does the tree eat itself? I'm going to eat them. I'll just say it. For people who are passing by, for strangers that walk through your orchard of life, they're going to see your fruit and they're going to feed off of your fruit. And I will go out on a limb and say that they will feed off of your good fruit and they will feed off of your bad fruit. Birds of a feather flock together. So be careful what you're feeding. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to try to stay on track. A tree that is planted in good ground absorbs all of the nutrients out of that ground and bears good fruit. It drinks the water. The water nourishes the tree as the tree grows. The tree grows, the fruit grow. Did you know, Sister Crosswhite, that a tree bears a certain amount of, and I didn't know this until I started studying, a tree bears a certain amount of weight of fruit. Did you know that? So the type of, it's not about the amount of fruit that comes on the tree, but the tree will bear a certain amount of weight. That's why if you prune it correctly, you will get better fruit. Okay? So let's just say you have a tree with hundreds of branches, and you have fruit on every branch, but that fruit is small. It's little. It will equal a certain amount of weight. But Pastor, if you begin to prune some things off of that and get some things out of that tree, get some limbs off that are really not helping that tree to be nourished, if there's some things that you can get out of your life, then when that tree grows fruit the next season and the limbs are less, your fruit will be bigger. People, you grow some beautiful tomatoes. Man, I've gotten from Pawpaw Martin over here, I've gotten some beautiful tomatoes. I've gotten some beautiful vegetables. But there's a process in growing that. You don't just throw seeds out there, do you, and just let it see what happens. You have to till that ground up. There's a process in getting that fruit. So when you get to the tree and you begin to take some things out of your life that it's kind of growing fruit, but it's not really that good of fruit, is it worth keeping in your life? Or is it time to cut some things out and be like, I don't really need that. It's not helping me. It's not really hurting me, but in reality, if I was to get rid of it and realize, it probably is hurting you. Because then that source that is feeding that fruit will be channeled into the other sources that will help grow better fruit. I don't know about you, but I want a big apple. I don't want a little apple. I want to feed off of something that has meat on it. I don't want to take the first bite, Pastor, and it be core as soon as I bite into it, right? So it's important how much fertilizer you put in the tree, just the right amount. Could either hurt the tree or help the tree. If you put too much fertilizer, you could weaken the tree, which would yield bad fruit. Did you know that trees need other trees to help feed itself? But it also cannot have too many because then it will starve itself. So they usually use two trees to every one tree of fruit. One to help pollinate it, and the other one is what they call a nitrogen enrichment. So you have so I'm telling you as a brother in the Lord, I need two men by my side everywhere I go that believe what I believe, that feed off what I feed. I need strength from brothers, and we're fixing to get into that. And so man, I'm telling you the depth of love that the Lord has opened my eyes to. So I need help. I want to have better fruit. If I'm by myself, then my fruit's not any good. Or it has the potential to not be the best that it could be. So it's time to cut some branches out of my life. That way the other things in my life can grow better. And I can bear better fruit. So going back to love. Agape. Can you put that up there? Agape. Agape is the highest form of love. It is the best fruit on the tree. I feel like there's a reason why the Bible says names it very first. There's a reason why it's named first. It is the highest form of love. But agape, A-G-A-P-E, is a noun form. It is a noun form. So that means, and 1 Corinthians 13 describes it well in verse 4, and you don't have to put that back up there, but keep this up there. So true agape love is the intent behind what you desire in love. Now, love in the English term, first thing you think of, Valentine's Day. It's our love is predicated on feelings. How good I feel. How good you make me feel. And if you make me feel bad, then my love for you is not as strong. I could begin to resent you if you hurt me and not love you. And so agape is the highest form of love. It is I have an intent. I have a mindset of I will love you no matter what. And that's a godly form of love. And that's agape. Right? Now, agapeo is used many different times, and it's the verb form. So, prime example, everybody knows the scripture, for God so loved the world. Can anybody finish that part? He gave. Okay, so for God so loved the world, right? Love is agape right there. But right after that, he gave. And that turned into an action. That he was so predicated on his feeling that he went out of his way to do something about that love. That's agape love. And they both tie together, because if I love you, Sister Benton, I'm going to go out of my way to show you that I love you. That's agapeo. The action behind my intent. The action behind what I've got for you. The love that I have for you. The agape love. So love is one of the most central themes in the Bible. It's the highest. Agape is the highest and purest form of love. It represents unconditional sacrificial love. The kind that seeks the well-being of others regardless of merit or reciprocation. This is love that comes from God himself. Sorry, Brother Josh, I'm going to my next scripture. Give me a second. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That love is agape love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Again, 23. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. We're going to get into all of those. But today we're just going to do love. John 15:1-8. Here we go. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What did I just talk about? And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring more fruit. Just confirmation of what I just said. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, I've got to have a source to bear my fruit. And my fruit has to be in the vine for it to be good fruit. Now, when I go through all of these, and I'm going to try to go through them quickly because I will run out of time. But if all of these sources of love were meant to be holy and righteous, but at the same time, if you're not careful, they can be evil. And that's why the Lord says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. Because they can be twisted, and you can have an agape love towards the world. And that's not what it was intended for. Your agape love is seek first the kingdom of God. Your agape love is the Lord, and everything else he'll add to you. So anyway, so abide in me. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Next. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, my words, I need the word of God in me. You shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. Okay, here we go. It's not for my edification. It's for him. It's not for me. This fruit is not for me. It's for God. The fruit that I bear, Brother Weaver, when I walk through Walmart and somebody reaches out to me and says, hey, I know you're a preacher. Can you pray for me? And I go, yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you and I'll just put it on the list. No, stop right there and pray for them. Stop right there and pray for them because why? They're asking for fruit. They see something in you and they're like, hey, I remember a time I was in the jail and a guy walks up to me and I was working in the jail. I'm trying to stay out of jail and I'll just. A guy walks up to me and he says, hey, they call me preacher. They said, hey, preacher, I hear you pray. And I said, I do. And he said, well, I need you to pray for my sister. I said, all right, let's pray. And he was like, what, like right now? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'm in dorm 8, Brother Crosswalk. And I had dorm 7, next to dorm 8. I was in dorm 7. And I was like, yeah, let's pray right now. And he was like for real right now? In front of all these, there's 24 people in this room. I said, yeah, let's pray. I said, hey, man, he's got a need. He needs prayer. Anybody else need prayer? Before it was over with, I had an entire circle of men in the front. Guess what? They quit fighting over the TV because they all fight over that stinking one-eyed devil, right? And the TV went off, and we had a prayer meeting right there. And we began to pray every need, every situation. Why? Because they saw fruit, and they wanted to be partakers of that fruit. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to be in church as soon as they get out of jail. They'll probably be right back in jail. Usually the dog goes back to his vomit. Right? But I'm bearing fruit. And whatever they do with it is up to them. I just need to bear that good fruit. All right. So moving forward. Ultimately, God is to be glorified over it. It's not my glory. This is not my pulpit. This is God's pulpit. You are not my people. You are God's people. All right. And so this is not me. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for God to help anybody that I can. Go to John 15 and 16, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You've been ordained to bear some fruit. So again, agape is not driven by emotion or attraction, but by sheer will and principle. It is a love that forgives. It is a love that endures suffering. It is a love that gives generously. Matthew 5:44 says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love, agape love, thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Next. "But I say unto you, love, agape love, your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully persecute and use you." There's action in that. So I have good intention, agape love, but behind that I want to have some agapeo, which means that I'm going to bless them that curse me. I'm going to do good to them that hate me. And I'm going to pray for them which despitefully use me and persecute me. So there is an action behind that agape for God and for us. Moving forward, phileo, and I'm going to go through these kind of quickly because I don't want to get involved. These are a whole nother depth, but I just want to hit them so you know the types of love that are in the Bible that I have found thus far. Phileo is a brotherly love, a love of friendship. Prime example of this type of love is David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan, there's a word for it. And I'll get to that other one in a minute, but this Greek word in phileo, actually it's a Hebrew word that supports phileo, is basically that love that Jonathan had for David. And in 1 Samuel 18:1, I think it was. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That's a phileo type of love. Now, some people will try to twist this, and I'm not going to get into that, but this is a brotherly love that I have for Brent. Right? That's a phileo type love. Right? And then there's another phileo love strengthens communities. It strengthens families, and it fostering empathy, encouragement, and joy. So again, I need two trees in my corner as I'm growing fruit, right? And I need this type of phileo love. I need men in my corner that will help support me when I become weak, and I want to be in somebody else's corner to help support them if they become weak. This is a phileo type of love. Okay, it's kindly affectionate. It's an honor giving preference to one another. It teaches believers to cultivate genuine fellowship and mutual care within the body of Christ. Okay, so this is a phileo type love. The next one is it storge? Storge? There you go. Storge. Storge is a family type of love, a love that one would have for a brother or sister that's in your family, one for a father or mother, okay? That is a storge type of love. It refers to a natural love that exists among family members. It describes the affection between parents and children, siblings, and close relatives. This word in Greek does not appear directly in the New Testament, but its concept is expressed all throughout Scripture. Romans 12:10. Actually, let's go. Yeah, let's do Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate, this is storge, one to another with brotherly love and in honor, preferring one another. A biblical example would be Noah and his family. Or the compassion for Hannah, for her son Samuel. The protective nature of Mary towards Jesus. All of these types of affections or loves were a storge type of love. Storge remains steadfast. Proverbs 13:24. This is a storge type of love for all the young ones. I always say this, Proverbs 13:24. No? Yeah. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Boy, my dad never spared his rod. He must have a storge type of love. Right? But he that loveth him, storge, chasteneth him betimes. Mine was not betimes. Mine was all the time. So, my dad has a storge type of love. Another love, and I'm not going to get into it really in really deeply, is eros or eros, how you want to say it. Eros is not really found in the Bible in its Greek definition. However, there is a word, and I need to find it, Genesis 2:24. And it's Anna, not Anna, sorry. Genesis 2:24. Let me pull it up real quick. This is an example. Ahab. There you go. Sorry. So Greek, this eros Greek word is not biblically found that I can find, but it is translated in the Ahab, which is an intimate love between a husband and a wife. All right, and I'm not going to get into a whole lot of detail on this because I don't want to chase rabbit trails, but this is a type of love. And the reason why I bring this type of love up is because it all goes back to one foundation. Anybody know what that foundation is? Agape. All right? It's all literally entangled together. Now, eros, just a quick thing, it comes from erotic, which is Greek, and it goes into a whole thing with this type of love, and it was mainly used for sinful practices. And so this type of sinful stuff that it was used for in the Bible will actually can interrupt what God has intentionally made between a man and a woman. That's why the Lord says don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, don't do any of these things, because these are not biblical. This is not biblical. This is not what I wanted. This is not the desire that I had for this type of love. This type of love, one, I needed it to be between a husband and a wife, and the world has taken it and destroyed it in a sinful type of practice. So going back to agape, these are all interconnected. And the whole point of the fruit of love is to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Charity. It suffereth long, but it still has an intent to love. Even in suffering, charity loves. Even in envy, charity loves. Even in it never fails. It's the true part of agape is that love, that the original intent that God had for our fruits is that we love no matter what. That's why the Lord said, if somebody smites you on one cheek, turn to the other cheek. Let him smite you on the other. First off, I dare anybody in here to go and smite Brother Jerry on the cheek. See? Because that is a natural reaction. We want to get back. We want to fight back. But the Lord says, hold up. What would love do? What would agape love do? What would agapeo love do? This is a fruit that we need to bear. I can tell you right now, there's a whole lot of people that I would love to put a hurt into, right? But then I have to find myself at an altar and I have to pray and say, God, help me have that agape love. Help me to have that love that I don't have ill intent towards my brother or my sister. That I don't have, my thought process wants you to make it to heaven. And I want to be a tree in your corner that helps you get there, right? And I want trees in my corner to help me get there. That's the kind of love that the Bible is talking about. The greatest fruit, the very first fruit is love, because somebody told me it was like an onion, and I don't really care for onions, so I'm going to think it like cake because I like cake. It has layers, right? Cake has layers. Right? Well, my cakes have layers, so I'm just going to imagine my cakes. Right? All of them fit together in love, that agape love. And I don't want to feed my neighbor onions. I mean, unless they like them. I did have a grandfather that would go to the garden and pick an onion and peel it, the outer shell, and he would eat it right there, just like an apple. I would cringe every time. Papa, you can't do that. That's bad. That's got to be bad for your teeth. He loved onions. But there's layers in that love, that agape love, agapeo love. I need to get out of that. Go back to my notes. And I'm getting ready to close. And I believe it's the first fruit because it enables us to develop other fruits of our lives. This agape love will feed the other fruits that I will go through over the next few Sundays, if the Lord willing. This fruit feeds the other fruit that we want to grow in our lives. And I'll go back to the true fruit can't be replicated. I go back to the two trees. One, the fruit was tied on. The other fruit hung naturally. So I question you today on where's your fruit? Where are you planted? Do you have people in your corner that'll help you? Or are you helping others? What does your fruit look like? Does things need to be pruned out of your life that'll help grow bigger and better fruit on other in other parts of your life? And Pastor, I'm closing. There's a depth in this type of love that I could go over for a very long time, but for time's sake, 40 minutes is long enough for Brother Jerry. So, especially over one subject of love, but the depth of love that God gave us. Bible says that hold on, Brother Josh. Nothing can separate us from what? The love of God. Neither height nor depth, no matter the storm, God has that love towards us, and I want to have that fruit towards God. I want to have that where if a storm comes up in my life, I might lose some fruit, but I'm going to stay anchored. I might lose a few dead limbs in that storm, but I'm going to stay anchored. And I don't know if y'all have ever seen a tree go through a fire. It's most likely it's a lot like what grass goes through. A lot of people used to burn their yards during the wintertime because in the springtime the yard would come back so much greener and more beautiful. And essentially, trees do the same thing because that fire will burn off the dead stuff off of the side of that tree. Limbs and little sprigs that have sprouted that is stealing nutrients, little stuff like that will burn off and ultimately will help the tree grow better fruit. And so I want to grow a better fruit of love for everybody around me and including me, Pastor.
So today, if we could just bottom line what we have heard today, the conclusion is this: take care of the love that matters the most. We got to treasure the things of God. The scripture says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and being. That means everything you got. And then love your neighbor as yourself. If we take care of the love that matters, all the other things will flow in place in your life. Amen. Thank you, Brother Colton.